You know what I find fascinating, Raven?
Hmm.
So I'm looking at this new research that was done, and it says that people are sexier when they're wearing their masks. Like, they look, like, more attractive. Which, remember I went through that period when everybody started to have to wear their mask at the beginning of the pandemic, where I called it mascot?
Yeah, you thought everybody was mascot all of a sudden. The guy at the grocery store, the guy at the convenience store, they had eyes that were really intriguing.
Yeah, so I, you know, I understand this, but then I was thinking about it, and I go, there has been people that have come into my life over the last year, and I have never seen them without a mask on. So it's a lot of people in the medical field, because, you know, ever since I busted my knee and I had to have knee surgery, my three physical therapists, I don't know what they look like without a mask. I see them three times a week, Raven. I don't know. If I saw them on the street with no mask on, I would not be able to recognize them. My surgeon, think about that. My surgeon who opened up my leg, I have no idea what she looks like without a mask. I just Googled her so I could see.
Yeah. What do you think is harder, though? Do you think that you have a better chance of retaining what you've seen in people's eyes and what you see in their upper face, and then maybe knowing who they are when the mask is off, than you do recognizing somebody that you see almost every day and they've got a mask on? Because I run into people all the time. If I see them in a group of people, they could be people I've known for a decade, and they've got a mask on, I won't recognize you.
Yeah, I don't recognize half the people either. Like, I could be at the grocery store and they could be like, Anna, it's me. It's me. And I'm like, I have no idea who you
right.
are.
I need more information than that. You're going to need a name tag.
Can I see your nose? Can I have a little bit more of a clue? Just pull it down to your nose, and then maybe I can properly identify who you are. Why is it trending? Top three news stories that are trending, and why? Raven, why do you think Cowboys are trending?
Well, it's probably because they blew the end of that game right there to the Niners.
Yeah, Cowboy fans were throwing trash on the field and ultimately ended up brawling with 49ers fans after the game when they lost 23-17 during the playoffs this weekend. It was a questionable ending to the game, and here's the last call.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
Oh, my gosh.
The official gets in the way. The game's over.
Oh, my gosh.
The game is over.
Bad clock management, Anna. You know what they say that is? Bad coaching.
Okay.
That's what it typically means.
My husband, Paul, had to explain all of this to me because I didn't understand what the big deal is. I guess the ref has to touch the ball before you could do anything with it.
The ref has to set the ball. The ref has to set the ball as to where it goes on the field. If the ref does not set the ball, then it's not an official spot. Therefore, you can't go to the next play.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Everybody was really mad about it. And they were throwing things on the field, and they ended up fighting afterwards.
You know who was not mad about it? San Francisco fans.
Right. Also trending, Bill Murray. Raven, why do you think Bill Murray is trending?
I hope he's healthy.
He is healthy, thank God. He's trending for something he didn't say. There was a quote that was attributed to him that was like a meme that started just going viral over the last 3 days online. And it says, so if we lie to the government, it's a felony. But if they lie to us, it's politics. And it was going basically crazy. And then somebody pointed out, wait a minute. Bill Murray never said that. Bill Murray has been silent about the whole thing.
Usually.
Turns out they found a parody account of Bill Murray from 2013 that said it.
Mm.
And right on the top of the parody account, it says, this is not really Bill Murray. And he's the one that said it. But here's the good news, Raven.
What?
Bill Murray did say this.
He slimed me.
That's great. Actual physical contact. Can you move?
Right. He did say that. He did not say that quote. But he also did say this.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack. At Augusta, he's on his final hole. Mm-hmm. Boy, he got all of that.
He got all of that one. Yeah. He did. Tears in his eyes.
Bill Murray did not say, if we lie to the government, it's a felony, but if they lie to us, it's politics. But he did say this.
This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather. I, for one, am very grateful to have been here. From Punxsutawney, this is Phil Connors. So long.
Groundhog Day coming up soon, too. Yeah.
It'd be great if he was on a part of these government committee meetings. That would be fantastic if Bill Murray could show up.
And also trending, the Betty White Challenge. Raven, why is that trending?
Raised a bunch of money, I think, this weekend, right? For dogs.
Yeah, so, well, for all rescue animals. So, Betty White passed away. Yesterday would have been her 100th birthday. So, in honor of her birthday, people were asked to donate to their favorite animal rescue. And usually when these things happen, like, they kind of, it's fun, it's a fun hashtag, but nobody really does it. I don't think that's the case. I think in this scenario, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars being donated yesterday. And I certainly am one of those people that don't really buy into the hype, but even I cut a check and I was like looking at like the organization that I donated to, and by like noon yesterday, they already had over $15,000. And that is a small organization. And I've been looking online, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. So it looks like it worked, and that's fantastic. I hope she's smiling down on us. If you're a guy, what do you wish other guys would stop doing? 1-800-330-9999. There's this article that was going around where guys were pretty much just begging each other to stop doing these really cliche things. And it made me giggle because, I don't know, you don't think of guys telling each other to do things like this. You know, Raven?
No. Only girls are the ones that go ahead and give their opinions to other people unsolicited. Come on. Of course guys talk amongst each other. We just don't talk about the conversations that we have with other guys with girls.
I'm looking over this list. Guys wish guys would stop fighting over women. Let her go. Move on. Mm. Getting into a fist fight over a lady because you both like her isn't worth it. Thought that was smart.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool until you're about 15, 16 years old, right? And then you realize that there's a whole lot of people out there. Big, big conflicts have been started over women. Troy! Let's look at the Battle of Troy!
Guys wish guys would stop going to the bathroom on the floor in front of the urinal. What is wrong with you? Now everyone else has to step in your stuff or try long distance going to the bathroom. I'll just
the truth
say that.
Is when I see that, I think of a weak prostate, but I don't know what's going on there. Maybe you're right. They're just not paying attention.
Here's a big one. Yeah. Guys wish guys would want them to stop telling other men to not cry. Like, don't tell guys not to cry. Be a man. Man up. Bro up, yo.
I think it's better to cry now when you're a guy, right? It's better to accept that you can cry now.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We have way too many guys that work on this show. Let's do roundtable. Producer John, what do you wish other guys would start doing?
I wish other guys would stop blaming all their problems on being a nice guy. You see this on internet forums all the time. I can't, I don't have a better job because I'm too nice a guy. Mm. I can't get someone to go on a date with me because I'm too nice. Like, listen, I'm not Mr. Super Successful, but it's not because I'm a nice guy. It's because I spent 20 years playing guitar and I thought that would magically make me money. But like, stop blaming your problems on the fact that you're too nice. You're not too nice. You just need to get after it.
I feel like this is a little bit of a confessional. He's like,
it's a bit of a confession.
He's like, I play guitar. I've been a little bit selfish in my life. And also, I'm not nice.
Also that.
I feel like
also
that was pretty revealing, actually. Wow. Is that like therapeutic? All right.
I feel good.
Producer Sean, what do you wish guys would stop doing?
Guys, stop telling me that cleaning is a quote unquote woman's job. Okay. You, the three of you all know me. You know I love to clean. I'm very OCD. I hate when guys tell me, oh, that's a woman's job. That's skirt work. No, it's not.
Wow. Skirt work?
That's
a word. I don't like that. I know. I don't like it either.
I knew instantly you weren't going to say that. I knew instantly you weren't going to like that. Yeah, no surprise.
It's terrible.
There.
It's sexist. It's, oh.
Yes, that would be a sexist line. Yes.
Yeah. I'm married to a guy that's a cleaner. Let me tell you, it was the smartest thing I ever did in my life. Right now.
I wish guys would stop acting like they like working out. Like, you don't like working out. Don't lie to me, all right? You're going to the gym, you're doing your thing and all that stuff. Don't tell me you like working out. Oh, now you like working out, John?
I kind of like it a little bit.
Now you like working out.
I kind of like it a little
John's
bit.
John's a nice guy who likes working out.
That's right. Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
He's unsuccessful.
You remember, too, I told you, Anna, the other night, I had to go to the hospital, and I was so offended by something that a guy, a stranger, started talking to me in the lobby about a girl that walked in. The girl was pregnant, for God's sakes.
Ooh.
You're talking about a girl that you don't have any idea who she is or what she's about, and you're talking about her saying something that you would never have the guts to ever say in her presence or out loud around her. Yeah, it's like, disgusting. Dude, don't talk to me. I'm not your friend.
No.
Mr. Yeah. Random in the hospital? No.
What do guys wish other guys would stop doing? 1-800-330-9999. This list went viral online, and it was eye-opening how even guys realize that when other men do this, they look ridiculous. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Okay, I hope they're listening. If I'm in the bathroom doing my thing, don't come up to the urinal right next to me. Hello, like they're on their phone and they'll just, they're not paying attention or like whatever, they want to get to know me. Hey, I'm going to the bathroom, okay? There are five other urinals on either side of me. Give me a break. Don't go right next to me.
It is so odd. You know what happened to me, Anna? So they've got us going downstairs right now. Our building is being renovated where the station is. So they've got us going downstairs to use the bathroom. So I go downstairs. There's a set time of day, and it's a time of day where nobody else should really be around doing anything. They just got to work at that point, right? But there must be a contractor or something that's working in the building, and they hide in the bathroom. So I come in the bathroom. They've already been in the bathroom for God knows how long. It's silent in there. I mean, if it's silent in the bathroom, that says to me, you're done with your business. So I come in. I use the stall. This is my after show time. So I take my time, Anna Zapp. And I leave, and they're still in the other stall.
That's because they have earbuds in, and they're watching the newest Netflix series.
What?
And catching up.
Like, I mean, that's gross.
I think that there's a whole group of people that hide in the bathrooms. I really do, at work. I think that that's like a thing. I think people find that as their safe spot. Because your boss can't yell at you because you're on the toilet.
I mean, sooner or later he can. I've seen the same shoes leave from the stall next to me. Spent my time in there and then come in and get another stall. Like, what's happening there?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you wish other guys would stop doing?
I wish other guys would stop lusting over my girlfriend and then telling me I'm a lucky guy. Mm. I feel like guys say it like it's a compliment or something. Like, wow, you're a lucky guy. And they're like, yeah, I know I am. You don't have to, you know, tell me that you're having, you know,
right,
thoughts about my girlfriend.
Stop, stop undressing my wife with your eyes. Right. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
I could see how that's annoying.
You're creeping out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm checking out your girl, but it's okay because I'm letting you know that I know it's your girl. And like, and how, you know, lucky you are that she's with you. And it's just, it's so annoying. It's just like, come on, man.
Oh, that's a good
like,
one.
Anna and Raven, what do you wish other guys would stop doing?
Oh, I just wish that other guys would stop with the muscle cars. I mean, they're so loud. They blare through the neighborhood. They startle the crap out of you. They're obnoxious. And they're expensive. I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing?
I don't get the muscle cars either. I'm on board with you with that.
Here's the thing. I support you having a real nice car, a vintage car or whatever like that, if you drive it. All right. If you're just somebody that just keeps it in the garage for something to stare at, I'm not down with that. I don't like that. On the other hand, if you got one of those cars that's just overly obnoxious and you're driving everywhere you're going like it's a race car and you put that exhaust on it because it's literally the loudest thing that you could buy, that seems like a bit much for me.
I agree.
Exactly.
I've got a friend. He just bought like one of these Hellcat things. It's like a Dodge. It's like a $90,000 car, and it's like a $100,000 car.
What?
And it's got like 800 horsepower or something like that. And it, seriously, and it drives like 210 miles per hour. And I'm like, where are you going to drive that thing? He doesn't have an answer for that.
CVS. He's going to go to CVS to pick up his medication.
CVS and back, right.
Yeah, yeah. 200 miles per hour.
I guess so.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you sit next to somebody when you go out to dinner instead of sitting across from them, that's all I need to know about you. All right. I know we've discussed this before, and it's usually a couple when we discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at lunch with my husband yesterday. And, you know, we always just sit across from each other. And I look over, and I swear it's like a mom and her son, but like an older son. Like he's probably like in high school, maybe, or maybe a little bit older, like early, around there, like a teenager, early 20s.
Sure.
And she was a mom. And they were sitting next to each other. And I swear to you, for the first 40 minutes, I thought that they were waiting for somebody to join them the way that they were sitting like next to each other. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, no, they're just having lunch, the two of them, and sitting side by side. And neither of them looked comfortable. And he like seemed somewhat annoyed. And I couldn't understand why. So unless you have a hearing problem or like there's some situation like that, I just don't know why you would sit like that.
I mean, did they have a favorable view if they were facing that way? Did it, you know, was something like that where all of a sudden, you know, they were looking out and they could see like the water or the street or anything like that? Or maybe he's on a leash. Maybe just because he's an adult doesn't mean he's not on one of those kids' leashes, right? Where he gets a little bit out of hand and she's got to pull him back. No chicken nuggies for you, that kind of thing.
I mean, it was a pub, so I don't know if... I don't think there was a good view.
Just because you put a Guinness or a Bass on something doesn't mean that you're an adult. Trust me when I tell you on that one.
I don't know. It just struck me as odd. I never understood what I certainly don't understand why couples do it, because I feel like you want to look into each other's eyes, not hold your hands under the tables like you're, you know, 16. But I definitely don't understand it if, like, it's a mother-son situation or even, like, any adult with, like, anybody else. It seems weird, right?
You're strange with intimacy. You want the intimacy of the world to look exactly like yours. And if it's anything less than that or anything different than that, it skeeves you out.
I don't like PDA. I definitely don't.
If your alarm is going off for 4 hours and you still haven't destroyed the speaker or the siren or whatever it is that it's attached to, that's all I need to know about you. Just a couple days ago, my back neighbor, the house that faces my house, the alarm went off in this house, I kid you not, for more than 12 hours. 12 hours. 12 hours. I was out back walking the dogs and trying to figure out where it's coming from. Because here's the thing. If I get a loud, piercing noise, Anna, within 10 minutes, if I can't figure out how to shut that thing off, I'm willing to bash that thing off the side of my house. There's no question about it. Not just for my neighbor's sanity, but for mine too, right? Mm-hmm. Called the police. They tried to figure out where it was coming from, where it was going at, because it's one of those high piercing sounds. You're not really sure. Turns out, yep, it's right from my back neighbor's house. And he didn't pull out his ladder to fix the siren until the next morning. 7 a.m.
How do you live like that?
I don't know. How do the other neighbors live like that? Like, I mean, at least there's a fence between me and him. So it wouldn't look cool if I hopped the fence to break his siren. Oh. I mean, where was everybody else on this? Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What's that thing that drives you nuts? You could always call or text. Do you pay your kids to do chores? What's the chore and how much do you pay them? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, they're calling it the unprepared generation. And I think that's sad. So basically, they're saying kids in general don't know how much things cost. They don't know how to manage money. And they thought by starting to teach like financial classes in high school, it would solve this. But they're saying that that hasn't solved anything. But now maybe having credit cards in advance and being able to budget their own money, that'll help in the future. I don't know if I believe that.
You know, that's actually kind of surprising to me. I mean, if anything, I thought it was going to be about work ethic. And it's always the conversation of the older to say, oh, well, the younger just don't get it. They just don't work as hard, right? Mm-hmm. Or they don't make it like they used to or whatever. But it seems to me like certain apps would be teaching kids better finances than when we were younger. Like, I mean, now they've got that. You can pay the allowance through the app. And it teaches them to set goals. If your kid's into Bitcoin or digital currency, they're learning about that. So, I mean, in some ways, I figured they'd be learning more.
So there's three different kinds of ways that you can give an allowance for chores or whatever to your kids. The first is called the unconditional allowance.
Okay.
And that means you get a regular set amount of money every week or month or however you set it up. And the kid just does whatever chores they do monthly to keep it up.
So for just surviving.
Like, yeah,
right. So the kid is alive. The kid kept breathing. They clothed themselves. So now they're fine.
Yeah, so they know, like, every day they have to take out the garbage, and it's just part of their normal routine, and every month an automatic deposit goes into their bank account or whatever it is, and they have that money, and that's their allowance. Okay. The second is the pay-as-needed allowance. So kids don't get regular set amounts of money, but they instead ask their parents for when they need it.
Mm.
But the negative side of the kids haven't necessarily done anything to earn that money. It's just like, Mom, I'm going out with my friends to the movies. Can I have $10? And you just reach in your wallet and you give them $10. And you're like, okay, great. Thanks for being my kid. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
And then the third, which is the most common, is the earn money for chores allowance. And that's where kids are expected to do certain chores around the house. And each chore has a set amount of money. Now, I don't do this. So I thought this was really interesting because I fall under the... I don't even know where I fall.
She asks and you
give. If she asks and I give. But she does things like she watches her sister a lot. My older daughter is 13. My little one is 3. So she helps me a lot with the little one.
You don't have to justify it.
Right.
You
exactly.
have a good daughter. Yes. It's fine. You don't have to explain.
So when she needs money, I just give it to her.
That's right.
I mean, she's a good kid. Like,
so we know which category you are in. Right. But
right.
I think what you're saying is the third one is, oh, you took out the trash this week. Okay, you get $3. Oh, you washed the car this week, so you get $5 or something like that. You did the laundry this week. That was a big surprise. Here's $8, something like that.
I'm curious, like, if you do the earn money for chores allowance, what is the chore and how much do they get paid? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Yeah, so my 7-year-old, I have him brush our dog's teeth. And I give him $2 a week.
That's a pretty good deal.
How often do you have to brush his teeth?
Once a week. His breath is pretty bad.
We brush our dog's teeth every other night.
What?
Yeah, every other night we brush the dog's teeth. Yep.
I have never once brushed Lila's teeth.
Well, you don't love your dog as much as we love ours, clearly.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Oh, are you supposed to do that?
Alicia brushes Baxter's teeth, and I brush Barkley's teeth.
Are you supposed to do that?
It's good for them.
I don't think that that's real. Never once has my vet said, how is the teeth brushing going on my dog? Never once.
Well, your dog must have pretty good teeth naturally then, because if not, sooner or later, they're going to talk to you about it.
Oh, my gosh. It's ideal to brush your dog's teeth at least twice daily? What?
Now, that sounds crazy.
What are you talking? I can't get my kids to brush their teeth twice daily, let alone the dog. Do your kids have chores? If they do, how much do you pay them for each of the chores? 1-800-330-9999. There's this article out about how a lot of the kids are being called the unprepared generation because they don't really understand how much things cost, how to earn money. And I'm reading our Facebook pages and I'm giggling at Anna and Raven because we asked, like, what chores do your kids do and how much do you pay? Hmm. And people are like, they get to breathe. They get free Wi-Fi.
You like that heat?
You like that heat?
How you like them lights?
Got sneakers on? You got sneakers on?
I mean, and listen, those are valid points. I mean, obviously, kids shouldn't be rewarded just for being alive, right? But I mean, there's a lot of truth to what's being said here is that it teaches financial structure for them to be getting paid to do a job and be compensated. Not everything is a gift.
And the experts say it's true. You should be giving your kids specific chores that have dollar value so they understand how a pay scale kind of works. What's the chore that you give your kid and how much do you pay them? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I have kids who are homeschoolers, and they also learn a lot about personal finance and compounded interest and things like that. But my 11-year-old is the one who spends the most. He doesn't have a set allowance, but if he says, hey, Mom, can I get this new game? Then I say, okay, let's come up with a contract, and we'll see if you stick to it, and then he can earn the thing that he asked for.
Can you teach me what compounded interest is?
Can you teach Anna how to read a contract?
What? I was like, I don't even know what those words mean.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's great. I mean, you teach them about structure and you teach them about making a deal and what it means to actually close a deal and finish that, too. Because that's a big thing. Striking a deal is one thing, right? But actually getting it to the finish line is something else.
Yes, and if he doesn't respect the contract, he doesn't get paid, just like any other job.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your chore in the pay scale?
I live on like a one-floor ranch-style home. Once a month, my kids have to go out and wash all of the windows. And not like, we don't have like squeegees and all the fancy stuff. They like use a bucket and all that, and that's their chore.
How much do you pay them to do it?
They get $20 a month.
I mean, at least it's one floor. It's another thing if you're putting them up on a 20-foot ladder and being like, go watch the windows on the third floor of the house.
$20 a month, though, huh?
Raven's like, I volunteer. I'm coming.
I mean, I'll knock them out quick for $20 in one shot. Now, I would do that. But as a kid, I'm like, dang, that's rough. You know what I mean? Like, that feels like a lot of labor for $20 over 30 days as a kid. Me, as a grown man, I'll stop over right now. I got a bucket in my truck. I'll come by today. If I could use your spigot, we'll have this thing done. $20 in hand. We're good.
When's the last time, Raven, you actually washed the outside of your windows at your house?
Oh, I don't do it. Alicia does it, but she's crazy about the windows, the sills, she washes the blinds and the curtains and all that stuff. We've got the ones that, you know, they pull in. So she just does it that way. But it's still a big job. I mean, we have 29 windows in our house. I know that because I paid to replace them, and she tells me every time she cleans them.
I don't remember a time in my 4 years living in this house that I went outside and cleaned the outside of these windows.
Oh, my gosh.
Not once.
She would be mortified.
I'm looking out them right now because I'm broadcasting from home, and they look fine.
I'm the same way. When she tells me she cleaned them over 2 days, I'm like, it seems like a lot of work, but she does
it. They're good. These are the national averages, Raven, for chores and how much people get paid.
Lay it on me.
Mowing the lawn, $6.28. Cleaning the garage, $5.20. Doing laundry, $2.82. Being responsible for a pet, so like feeding, walking, cleaning up after the dog, $2.66.
Well, you wanted that puppy, so do your job, young person. That's the rule, right?
Yeah, they're calling it the unprepared generation because they say, despite the fact they put so many financial classes in high school, in high schools, that students still don't really understand how to manage their money. And so they're saying it's not the whole you live under my roof, you're going to do the chores, I'm not going to pay you. You should be paying them for specific chores so they can learn how to manage their cash when they get older. So the question is what are the chores you have in your house and how do you pay them? 1-800-330-9999. Anna
Raven. Yeah, so I have a chore board. It's kind of a large spreadsheet, and it has everything from making the bed, doing the dishes, feeding the pets, and they get paid tickets. I have like a roll of raffle tickets, and then there's a way to cash those tickets in. The tickets can be cashed in for movies, for pizza night, for just different items that they want. And it works really great, and they know how to budget and save for the larger items. They have fun competing with each other who has more tickets, who's earned more.
It's like an arcade. It's like when you go to an arcade.
Hey, she's running it's a like, skee-ball oh. thing.
You only have one ticket. One ticket's only going to get you a Tootsie Roll.
That's
it's
right.
been sitting in here for 6 years.
So it's like a carnival barker, right? Well, maybe if you play a few more games, do a few more chores, you could trade in that Cupid doll for the thing you really wanted. No, I like that. Thank
you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the chore you give your kid and how much you pay him for it?
We have a little system, excuse me, at home. We've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and we are both working. Mom and dad both work, so the two big chores that are ongoing are dishes and laundry, And we've come up with a system where we have a chore book, and any minutes that they contribute to doing their chores, like if they have to wash the dishes that night or put the dishes away or whatever, if they've been washed, they record their minutes in the chore book, and at the end of the week, they get $10 an hour.
Wow.
That's pretty great.
That's a time clock.
That's a smart idea.
We tried charging by the chore, and it was a nightmare. Like, they would be fighting over who did what and which chores. Sometimes they fought over which chores would give them the most money and whatever. So we just decided, you know, most people get paid by the hour. They get paid by the hour, and they're very honest about recording the minutes.
I was about to say, if that was my family, my older one, I could trust her, but the little one, I would have to audit her time card every week. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your child's chore?
Well, it's not a regular chore, but I just made my son caulk our bathtub.
What? How old is he? Is he a plumber?
Hopefully he will be one day, right? No, he's 12. He's almost 13.
I mean, if he's got the finger, though, if you got the good caulk finger, Anna, you know.
How much do you pay?
I had to check on him a little bit.
Yeah, caulking can be stressful, man, you know, but when you get in the groove of it, you can start knocking it out.
That's a dad job. That's not a, right?
It does feel like a dad job, but if the kid's good at it, man, again, I'll let him have at it. What do you pay the kid for that?
Well, it's kind of a one-time thing, but I bought him this video game that he wanted. That was the deal.
Pretty cool trade, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Pretty cool trade.
Well, I basically confirmed what I knew in my heart this whole time, Raven, is that I was not going to be great at crocheting.
Why? What happened?
Well, it's hard, and you need to have a lot of patience, and I don't have a lot of patience.
That's true.
So if you missed it last week, I was trying to think of like something I can do to pass the time on the weekends, because ever since I had my knee surgery, I can't really do a lot. So somebody said, like, you should learn how to crochet, like make something. So I said, yeah, I'm going to crochet this weekend. Whatever I make, I'm going to auction off, and I'll take whatever proceeds from this incredible item that I make, and I'll donate it to the animal rescue of your choice, because Raven and I love animal rescues and adopt, don't shop and all that.
So do you think that this was a good choice for you now at this point, or should you have picked something else, like trying to make houses out of cards?
Well, it was a learning experience, and what I've been learning is that it's okay to fail at something and like to accept that you don't have to do good all the time.
Wait a minute.
But wait a minute.
The conversation of somebody saying you should get a hobby and turned it into a philosophical lesson.
Life lesson.
For
life
you
lesson.
To know that sometimes it's all right to come up short. Is that
yes? All right. I had three things. I said, if I failed at this project, I had a listener reach out to me who offered on the DL he would have his wife crochet something for me. I could play it off like I made it really quick, and then we could auction it.
You know what? That's very nice of you, sir, but it's also terrible.
Right. Number two option was, I was like, church, right, like, you know, before the holidays, before I, you know, before I could leave the house and all that, and I bought a knit scarf that they were selling at the there,
oh,
and I was gonna use that
from church.
I mean,
you would have definitely went to hell for that. So good choice that you didn't do that.
But I also had a friend of mine who said, Anna, if it's too hard, mm-hmm. get a loom, because the crochet looms are easier to use for beginners. So I had bought one as an emergency. Turns out I'm really good at the loom. And so loom, crochet, and knitting are all different things I've learned in the past week.
And you're a loomer now. You're a loomer.
I'm a professional loomer.
Yeah, professional loomer.
When it comes to looming.
Can't crochet to save your life. Right.
No.
But definitely, you know, willing to commit fraud to say that you did it for crochet. But as a loomer,
yes. You
can do it.
Raven, hold on. I'm going to put my hat on.
Yeah.
I loomed a hat.
I was very impressed with this weekend. I don't want to reveal anything too much yet, but.
Let me put it on. It doesn't fit over my headphones.
We got this photo randomly. I mean, I don't remember what time it was, but it felt like it was late. And I got this photo of you in a hat, and you know, you were like, I just made this, and I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I honestly was blown away. It's actually a very nice hat.
Here you go. So look at it. So it's a gray hat. It's very simple, mm-hmm. but it's a knit hat. And I made it. I made it on my loom, and I worked really hard on it.
It doesn't appear to be falling apart.
No.
You said
legit.
You were going to make items all weekend long. Did you make anything besides the hat?
I made three hats.
You made three hats?
Yeah, but
wow.
I gave one to Hayden, my daughter, and then one to Dakota. So each of my kids.
So you have one hat,
hat
for sale is what you're saying is after this, this week-long soul-searching job, you have one hat for sale.
If there's a high demand for my knit hats, then I will make more. But I'll be honest, I don't really like doing it.
Oh,
but
you shouldn't have said that out loud.
Right. So here's what we're going to do. The video is up on our Instagram, on our Facebook at Anna and Raven. If you would like to bid on this hat that I made that I'm holding right now, just send an email to Anna@AnnaandRaven.com. All the info is on social media. We'll put it up on our website, too, at AnnaandRaven.com. And highest bidder, you know, from up until tonight, 10 o'clock, is going to get this hat. And you can pick the animal charity it goes to, or if you don't have an animal charity that's close to you, I'll be happy to pick one that's close to us.
I just want to say that my best wish is that not only the hat garners a ton of cash, but that people demand that you make more and more hats.
I'd prefer not to, just putting it out there. There's a new term that's being floated around when it comes to relationships, and it's called struggling relationships. And it's that people are glorifying when people go through all these struggles in a relationship and they stay with the person. Now, the big question is it right? Is it wrong? And what exactly does that mean? Relationship expert Dr. Patrick Juanes, you can visit him online at patrickjuanes.com. Dr. Juanes, what's this all about?
A struggling relationship isn't a clinical term, but it can be an all-encompassing term. So the struggle in the relationship could be in reference to security, to stability, to connection, to intimacy, to understanding, to wanting the same things, to values. You know, one of the biggest causes of breakups is actually not cheating. It's we argued constantly. So all of these things can create a struggle in the relationship. It can be we're in different stages of life.
But are there any red flags, things that people can see in their relationships that at that point you know that the relationship is over and you need to get out?
There are many red flags, and the most important one is, are you arguing constantly? If you and your partner are arguing constantly, then that's a huge red flag that the relationship isn't going to work out. You might be arguing over money, over sex, but most likely, the second red flag is when you and your partner want different things in life. Perhaps you have clashing values, or you've got a goal, and that goal works against the goal of your partner. Just those two red flags alone tell you it's time to get out.
So, you know, I hear struggling relationship, and I hear it's about to fail, right? That it's over.
Right. The house of cards is coming down.
Yeah. But what's the difference between you're working on your relationship and your relationship is over and you need to jump ship?
Well, if only one person is willing to work on the relationship, then you might as well jump ship and make sure you have a life raft. If you're both willing to work on the relationship and you're both struggling, that's okay. The question is, are you making progress and is it enough progress? If you're getting professional help or whoever's helping you and supporting you and the relationship is improving, then that's okay. Don't enter into any relationship and expect there isn't going to be some sort of struggle, there isn't going to be some sort of difficulty. Speak to people who have been married 40 years and they'll tell you that they had hard times. They'll tell you there were times when they thought they weren't going to make it through. So we've got to be careful that we don't become like the consumerism society that we are, that we just throw away something the moment that it has any problem with it.
I feel like there's so much of this today, Dr. Juanes, because it really is. It's the me generation, right? I have all these things at my disposal to keep me entertained, to keep me stimulated, to supposedly enhance my life. And at some point, you know, just like anything else, your relationship, if it has a struggle or it just has a boring Wednesday, you know, you're going to deal with those things and cross those bridges. But people nowadays don't seem fully invested to make that a winning scenario.
What a great point. We seem to have fallen prisoner to this ridiculous misconception or this ridiculous belief that we must be happy 24 hours a day. As soon as there's a bit of a friction or a bit of a struggle in the relationship, meaning things aren't going well, I'm out of here. You'll never get a sense of fulfillment if you're not willing to work hard to make the relationship work.
All right, Dr. Patrick Juanes. Now, another thing that people have been talking about is how Khloe Kardashian keeps going back to Tristan Thompson, even though, you know, he's openly admitted and the whole world has seen him cheat on her so many times. Now, why do women stay with cheaters? That's coming up next. Why do people choose to stay with cheaters and give them multiple chances? Dr. Patrick Juanes is a relationship expert. You can visit him online at patrickjuanes.com. Dr. Juanes, you know, I think this has been in the news a lot lately because of the Tristan Thompson having to apologize to Khloe Kardashian for, I believe, the third time publicly he was caught cheating on her. You know, they're broken up now, but for a long time, she kept going back to him. I feel like that poor girl has got this history of all these guys cheating on her, and she's always giving them second and third chances. But I think that happens a lot in real life, too. Why? Why do women keep going back?
One of the primary reasons is denial, that the person, whether it's a woman or a man, says to themselves, oh, no, this isn't really happening. The second, and this is the worst part, is when the woman misleads herself and brainwashes herself into thinking, I can change him. Mm. I must save the relationship. And, of course, he often plays into that because he'll say, I'll never do it again. I promise it'll never happen again. It was just one time. I love you. I need you. You're the most important thing. And again, what he's doing is feeding into her ridiculous belief that she can change him, that she can help him to become a better person. Don't marry someone or get in a relationship with someone thinking you're going to make them a better person. You can help each other to become the best version of themselves, but don't think that you can change another person.
So hard to talk yourself out of that, though, if you're somebody who feels like you're a fixer.
Another reason that women will stay in a relationship with a cheater is due to shame and guilt, where the woman thinks, I'm doing something wrong, or there's something wrong with me, I have to win him over. If he's going to some other woman, if he's cheating, that's because there's something lacking in me. That is often a common occurrence.
It feels weird, too, that, you know, when you say just the word shame and talk about guilt, it's like there's that whole thing where everybody told me and yeah. I thought different, right?
Yep.
Us
yep.
against the world. And there's that embarrassment, but really a shame that it didn't turn out that way, that you should have believed them. You're mad yep. at yourself. Doctor, if you want to change somebody, they have to want to change, right? If somebody doesn't want to change, or, you know, they tell you immediately I've made mistakes or whatever, but they don't truly believe that they've made mistakes or they're a problem, then they're never going to change. They won't.
Well, here's the secret about men. We don't like change. We don't want to change. We won't change unless we really have to change. And don't talk to me about change. And the problem is that often we as men, when we're about to change, it's usually too late because she's walked out or we've already screwed everything up. But yes, change is a challenge for men.
Can open relationships work? I feel like, you know, there was a petition online for Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith to stop giving interviews because we know way too much about their life. Because one of the things they talked about was that at one point they had an open marriage. And I was like, oh, that's interesting because I can't imagine anything like that. But can that ever work for couples?
Of course it can work for couples because you have couples that are polyamorous. When you're talking about individual couples, it depends on what their values are and what their principles are. It can work. You know, there are people that lead completely different lives to the average person. There are people that are into kinks and fetishes and BDSM and swinging, and it works for them. But it doesn't work for the average person. And it's going to depend on the individual person's values.
Dr. Patrick Juanes, you can visit him online at patrickjuanes.com. Thank you.
Thanks, Doc.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Dave and Lucy. Lucy, what's going on?
Hey, so we have a three-month-old baby. He's the cutest. We made him an Instagram so, like, family and friends could follow with him growing and everything that he's learning and doing. I created him an Instagram, and now Dave doesn't like it.
Dave, you don't like the baby's Instagram account? Why?
Well, look, I thought it was really cute at first, and it was a good way for, like, family and friends to kind of check in, do this stuff. But listen, now this kid has 300 followers. I don't know who these people are. Now she's made a TikTok for him as well, and now it's like, whoa, this is getting kind of weird. Are we going to get, like, pedos, like, checking out our kid? And, like, you know, I just kind of uncomfortable with it. That's all I'm saying.
It's such a strange time, right? The things that you have to consider. And, I mean, imagine if they had all this stuff when we were little. On the one hand, I'd be like, Mom, why didn't you start my gram? I could have been jamming. I could have been making money by now. I could have been an influencer by the time I was 12 or 15, making, you know, tons of money. On the other hand, you know, that's a real concern, right? Like, there's not all good people on the internet. We've seen this time and time again. Every professional will warn you that there are dangerous people online.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
And then once the photos are out there, they're out there forever. So what you think is cute could be terribly embarrassing for your child at some point in their life. And they feel like it's traumatizing. And who knows how it'll be used.
Lucy, why? Why do you have the socials for the baby?
Well, we talked about how, you know, we have friends and family all over. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, we want them to be able to see him grow up. I just post things in our daily life. And, like, it's easier to post on TikTok because you can do, like, videos and stuff, and they just get posted to the Instagram. So, like, it just made sense to make a TikTok. It wasn't like, I'm not trying to make our baby famous or anything like that. Like, it's just people that we know all over the place that are following him, and, like, it's cute.
But now it's people that you don't know, too, right?
Exactly. I mean, for the most
There's a lot of people we know.
People
we don't know.
Right.
I mean, Instagram followers.
How many of them are creeps?
I don't know. It's a tough call. You could put the privacy settings on, but I think really ultimately what it comes down to is Dave's just not comfortable with a three-month-old baby having social media, and I can understand that. I don't know. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Lucy. Your baby's cute. Your family wants to see the baby. Maybe you need to be better about privacy settings if, and that's a big question, if your point of this isn't to make your baby Instagram famous. But they may see Dave's point, too. Social media is no place for a child, a small infant.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Dave and Lucy have a three-month-old baby, and Lucy loves to post pictures on the baby's Instagram account. The baby has its own Instagram account. Here's the problem, though. Dave doesn't like the fact that, yeah, he's got like 300 followers now, which is weird because we don't know all these people. But she says, yeah, but it's all family and friends, and it's cute, and baby makes funny faces and gets likes.
Yeah, I think the disturbing part is the 6 degrees of separation, right? Mm-hmm. The friend of a friend, the friend of a family member, the friend of that friend of that friend. You know, it happens so quickly that we kind of open ourselves up to troubles that we couldn't really perceive before. And that's what Dave is worried about. He says, listen, cousins, aunts, uncles, that's great. There's 300 people here. I don't know these people.
Yeah, what do you think? Should a baby ever have an Instagram? Should you be posting pictures of your baby? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side primarily, but I have a lot of family members who had babies in the last couple of years, and they created accounts on Tiny Beans, and it's by invitation only, so you can post those daily happenings and just send out invitations to the people you want to be able to see it, and no one else can. So you accomplish the wife's goal without compromising the husband.
That's a good idea. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. When Dave and Lucy's baby was born, Lucy set up an Instagram account for him. Now that he's 3 months, he has 300 followers. Lucy thinks it's great. It's family members, and she admits some people she doesn't know. Dave thinks, no, it's weird. What are these people doing looking at pictures of my baby?
Yeah, he's not comfortable with it at all. He says, listen, I don't know these 300 people. Aunts, uncles, cousins, that's one thing. But who's to say who these other people are creeping up on a baby's Instagram? And those photos are out there forever.
He wants her to take down the account, and she thinks he's overreacting. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on the husband's side. Reason being that the wife could send out on Facebook Messenger. She can send videos and pictures through her friends that way privately, so they only see them and no one else does.
Yeah, it's just so difficult to know who's a real person and who isn't nowadays online, right? I share your trepidation with that. It's a bit scary.
Yeah, you don't know who's a creep. Be honest.
Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the dad's side. I have a similar situation a little bit. My family is all over, so I post things of my children on Facebook. But I keep everything private, so because I don't have like random people that I don't know seeing pictures of my children. So I'm definitely on the dad's side.
Hi, it's Ann Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on his side. I would have to agree with that. I don't think I stopped posting because of fear of people seeing my children, and just the internet's forever.
It's true. So that's the thing that really sticks with me, too, is like, you know, we do things in good nature and, you know, we have a good thought about an idea behind doing something. But we never know how that translates 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Now, you know, we take a risk, right? It could have banked well. It could have been awesome. It could have, you know, started some industry for your child. On the other hand, it could be bad. And what if they don't have any interest right. in that when they get older and now you've kind of created this monster?
Right. And if you don't use it for internet famous, then yeah, you can set strict privacies for only family members and approve who follows you. But it's still so-so because it's out there.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dave, our audience agreed with you today. Lucy, you got to take it down. You could send all the text chains and all the pictures you want of the kids to your family and friends through text, or even maybe even post some pictures and videos on your own account. But the fact that the baby has his own account is problematic.
I mean, fine. I guess we can just like start a group text. But like, I don't really see the big deal. I don't agree with everybody else.
I get what you're saying. I hate group text. That's the first thing that jumps out at me because that thing always goes off all day and night at the worst hours, too. It's always at that time. But, I mean, at the very least, lock it down with the privacy settings. I'd keep the profile ghosted. That way they can relaunch it like Kim Kardashian does, Anna, right?
Oh,
every time
like
she
me.
Turns it off and deletes everything and then comes back and she's got a billion people within a half hour.
Well, that's like me. I own all my kids' names for websites because, you know, in case they need them one day. They're dead accounts. If you go to them, they're not going to get anything. But if ever one day where Hayden Zapp, you know, needs her own website, mommy owns it, you know?
I can't wait till you're on the deathbed. Mm-hmm. Make sure you use DakotaRay.com. It's a gold mine. I've left it to you, child. Best of luck, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven jackpot is $800 thanks to Discover Card. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Hey, Beth Ann, you ready to play?
I'm playing.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Beth Ann.
Okay.
Oh, thanks. I need it.
All right, Beth Ann. Raven's going to walk out of the studio when the door closes. He can't hear us. It's soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to go?
Yep.
Number one, Snooki says that despite her pleading, Jersey Shore cast member Sammy will not return to the reunion show. What was Sammy's nickname?
Sweetheart.
Number two, a single patch of artwork from a 1984 Spider-Man comic book sold at auction for a record $3.36 million. Spider-Man was created by what writer-editor?
Stan Lee.
Number three, the drama between sisters Jamie Lynn Spears and Britney Spears is never-ending, but now they seem to be apologizing to each other. What is the name of Jamie Lynn Spears' upcoming memoir?
Oh, Lord. I just saw that on TV. I don't know.
Number four, Tom Holland has been petitioning to have a role, big or small, on the HBO show his girlfriend Zendaya stars in. What show is that?
I don't know.
And number five, Matrix Resurrection star Priyanka Chopra addressed the divorce rumors and said that she cannot wait to have children with her husband. Who is she married to?
I don't know that either.
All right, Beth Ann, that's not great. Let's bring Raven back in. Let's see.
I know.
Yeah, it's all right. They were tough today.
You.
All right, Raven. So Beth Ann got 2 out of 5.
Not too good, Beth. Let's see here. 800 bucks on the line.
All right, number one. Snooki says that despite her pleading, Jersey Shore cast member Sammy will not return to the reunion show. What was Sammy's nickname?
Sammy Sweetheart, right?
Yep, Sammy Sweetheart. Number two, a single page of artwork from a 1984 Spider-Man comic book sold at auction for a record $3.36 million. Spider-Man was created by what writer-editor?
Stan Lee. Stan Lee, I thought he created all of them, to tell you the truth, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number three, the drama between sisters Jamie Lynn Spears and Britney Spears is never ending, and now they seem to be apologizing to each other. What is the name of Jamie Lynn Spears' upcoming memoir?
Things I Should Have Said?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think you would know that.
Yes.
All right. Number four. Tom Holland has been petitioning to have a role, big or small, on the HBO show that his girlfriend Zendaya stars on. What show is that?
Euphoria.
Yes. And number five, Matrix Resurrection star Priyanka Chopra addressed the divorce rumors and says she can't wait to have children with her husband. Who is she married to?
People should just leave her and Nick Jonas alone.
Yes. I'm sorry, Beth Ann. He beat you 5-2 today. That gets you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Beth Ann. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $900 tomorrow.
It's a whole lot of cash. Get ready to play tomorrow, same time.